Welcome to the 296th episode of the 4th and 24 podcast. I am your host for today, Patrick Winograd. In this edition, our topics are reviewing my weekend predictions, a review of last week's college football playoff games, and a quick review of the first weekend of the NFL playoffs, a look back at the last week in college basketball, and a look at the NBA. So let's jump right in with a look back at my weekend predictions, which are posted every Thursday on our social media. We will start in the NFL, where I went 5-1 in those predictions. In the NBA, I went 2-2, and in college basketball, I also went 2-2, which means that overall, I went 9-5 this week. That brought me to a 1,256-778 overall record, a 61.8% winning percentage. Going back to those individual predictions, we're going to talk about all these games in depth in the NFL, but the Texans beat the Chargers 32-12. That was the one I got wrong. But the rest of the week, I got it all right. The Ravens beat the Steelers 28-14. The Eagles beat the Packers 22-10. The Bills beat the Broncos 31-7. The Commanders beat the Buccaneers 23-20. And the Rams beat the Vikings 27-9. All of those were correct predictions for me. So a good week in the NFL, in the NBA. The Pacers beat the Warriors 108-96, which I predicted correctly. The Bucks beat the Magic 109-106. I got that one wrong. The Thunder beat the Knicks 126-101 on the road, which I got right. And then the Grizzlies beat the Timberwolves 127-125, which I got wrong. In college basketball, number 3 Iowa State beat Texas Tech 85-84 in overtime, which I got right. Georgia beat number 17 Oklahoma 72-62, which I got right. And then Alabama, the number 5 team in the country, beat number 10 Texas A&M 94-88. Got that one wrong. And then number 6 Kentucky beat number 14 Mississippi State 95-90. Got that one wrong as well. Two road wins for those SEC teams as underdogs, I think, in both games. But overall, pretty satisfied with my predictions this week, especially in the NFL, you know, in college. Really close games all around. It is what it is. Sometimes that'll happen. Sometimes the team that I pick won't win, especially in those hotly contested games. The SEC is going to have a ton of those this year. But, you know, I said last week I'd put non-SEC games in there. I only managed to get one in there, but maybe next week there will be more. You know, it just depends on the matchups. The SEC, though, has dominated this year, so it's no surprise that ton of those matchups happen to be SEC games. But again, my predictions for next weekend, which will be posted on our social media on Thursday. Let's now turn to college football with a look back at the playoff semifinal games. Just for quick reference, I did pick both of these games and got both of them right. But number 8 Ohio State beat number 5 Texas 28-14. This game was tied going into the fourth quarter. Ohio State scored 14 in the fourth, Texas scored none. Ohio State walked away with the victory. Obviously, the Jack Sawyer scoop and score was the big play in that game. Texas driving in Ohio State territory, and they pretty much got stood up at the goal line, and then Jack Sawyer forced a fumble, recovered it, and took it the other way for 6 when Texas was driving to try to tie up the game 21 apiece. Also worth mentioning that Ohio State ran a quick screen at the end of the first half, just kind of trying to not exactly run out the clock, but, you know, just see where it went, run a safe play that you won't turn the ball over on with only 15 or so seconds left, and somehow that play went for a 75-yard touchdown. So Texas really, really lost this game on two big plays. That gave Ohio State some momentum going into the half when it should have been a 7-7 game and instead was a 14-7 game in Ohio State's favor. And even though Texas responded with the touchdown in the third quarter, it wasn't enough. Ohio State scored in the fourth and then scored on defense later in the fourth. So Ohio State moves on to the championship game, and they will take on number 7 Notre Dame, who beat number 6 Penn State 27-24. Mitch Jeter on a walk-off field goal for the Fighting Irish. They were down 10-0 in this game. They had nothing going for them offensively. And then all of a sudden in the second half, and really at the end of the first half, Steve Angeli actually came into the game when Riley Leonard got injured for a bit, led the team down the field to about the 15 or 20-yard line where they kicked a field goal to end the first half to make it 10-3. They got the ball. They scored again. And then all of a sudden, tie game 10-10. And then they just kind of continued the momentum from there. They outscored Penn State 17-14 in the fourth quarter. Both teams trading blows until Notre Dame ended up with the final possession there. And of course, knocked through that game-winning field goal. So the Fighting Irish win 27-24, meaning they will take on number 8 Ohio State in the championship game in Atlanta. Ohio State favored by 8 points in this game. If I wanted to give you a prediction in isolation, I 100% would pick Ohio State in this game. I think they're just playing at the level that they were supposed to all season long, and none of the teams that are as talented as them are still in it anymore. I mean, obviously there's only 2 teams anyway, but even out of the 4, there weren't any of those teams left. Oregon was really that last team that was on their talent level, and they didn't really play that well in that Rose Bowl game, and also just hadn't really played up to maybe their level all season, whereas Ohio State is peaking at the right time. But at the same time, look, I'm going to be stubborn because I picked Notre Dame to win it all originally. I didn't think they'd have to go through Ohio State. Like I said, when I initially made that prediction, I thought kind of the other side would take care of itself, and they were a good enough matchup with Oregon that I thought they could win it. So, you know, if I'm giving you an actual prediction, I'd say Ohio State. But if I'm giving you the prediction that I have to stick to because I said it in the first place, I guess technically I'm saying Notre Dame. But if you wanted me to give you an exact score prediction based on the information we now have about these teams rather than what I said before the playoffs started, give me Ohio State in probably like a 31-20 type game, I would guess. But at the same time, I'll be happy, I guess, somewhat if Notre Dame won and I predicted the champion of the 12-team playoff by picking the 7 seed before the tournament even started. I'd be very happy with that result, but I just don't think it's going to happen. But that will be on Monday, of course, in Atlanta. We will talk about that on next Tuesday's podcast. But now let's turn our attention to the other playoff action in football. That action, of course, taking place in the NFL. Starting with the Saturday games, the Texans beat the Chargers 32-12. That was a result that, you know, that game could have gone either way. I picked the Chargers. I think they were favored as the road team in that game. But C.J. Stroud hadn't been playing well all season, didn't think he was playing at a level that he could lead a team to a playoff victory. And the Chargers actually got that type of quarterback play themselves. Justin Herbert threw 4 interceptions in this game. So that was really what swung the game. The Chargers also didn't capitalize on some opportunities very early on to score, and that definitely played a factor as well. But 2 kicked field goals in the first quarter, no touchdowns, and then all of a sudden Texans score on, you know, a turnover after a turnover, and game kind of flips on its head really, really quickly. Texans end up with a 10-6 halftime lead and just keep the momentum going. But neither of these 2 teams I don't think is really that good anyway, and I think, as we'll talk about later, playing the Chiefs in the next round. So I have some thoughts about that, and we'll keep those predictions to when I actually start talking about it. But the next game was the Ravens against the Steelers. The Ravens won 28-14 in that game. Just, they're the better team. I mean, I really don't need to analyze this game that much. I just feel like we all knew they were going to win that game, and that's exactly what happened. They were up 21-0 at the half, and even though the Steelers had a better second half, it was going to require a ridiculous effort for them to overcome the deficit that they had carved themselves into in the first half. So they lost that game pretty easily. But the Ravens move on to the second round, the divisional round. Talk about their opponent in a second. Their opponent being the Buffalo Bills, who won 31-7 against the Broncos. The Broncos actually scored first in this game. The problem is they didn't score after that. The Broncos scored a touchdown on their opening drive, and, you know, maybe people thought that they were in it for a little bit after they held the Bills scoreless or only to a field goal in the first quarter, and they were actually leading 7-3 after the first quarter. But then the Bills' offensive onslaught continued. The Broncos' offensive onslaught didn't. So despite that 7-3 lead after the first quarter, the Bills were up 10-7 at half, kind of a sleepy first half, and then 21 straight points in the second half to put this game away. The Bills showing that they are just a class above a team like the Broncos in terms of this season. But the Broncos, young team, young quarterback, weren't really supposed to be here this year. So the fact that they're even here, they should celebrate. And then just get back to the drawing board for next year. It'll be a different year. But then you got the Eagles. They won 22 to 10. This game, talk about a weird start. The Packers fumbled the opening kickoff, although it probably was re-recovered by Keyshawn Nixon. But that's not what replay ruled. They gave the ball to the Eagles instead. The Eagles scored. Off of that, they scored on their opening drive on offense as well after a Jordan Love interception, I believe. That made it 10 to nothing early, and then they just kind of stalled out until the second half. But even then, Eagles got enough production. They already had a 10-point lead. The Packers only got 10 on the board in total, and then the Eagles just used that lead to kind of glide to the finish with a 22 to 10 victory against the Packers. And then the Commanders beat the Buccaneers on a walk-off field goal by Zane Gonzalez. Buccaneers were up 3-0 after the first quarter, but then they didn't get anything going offensively at all. On their next few drives, the Commanders took a 10-3 lead, and then Baker Mayfield kind of led a 2-minute drill against the Commanders at the very end of the first half to get the Bucs on the board, tie it up at 10 each going into the half. And then the Bucs and Commanders just kind of went back and forth in the second half. The Bucs, they were up, or yeah, they went up into the fourth quarter with a 17-13 lead, but after the Commanders were stalled on their first drive in the third quarter that went into the red zone, they did kick a field goal to take the 13-10 lead then, but they went for it later in the quarter because the Buccaneers were already up 17-13, and they had been stopped once at the 3-yard line, so they decided that it was time to be aggressive this time. They didn't want to go 67 yards twice and only get 6 points out of it. But unfortunately for them, they didn't get it. They had first and goal at the 1, lost 2 yards on second and goal, and then had 3 other incomplete passes, which led to a turnover on downs. But just when you thought that the Commanders had lost all the momentum, the Buccaneers fumbled and gave the Commanders really good field position. They capitalized this time from the 13-yard line and did make it into the end zone, even though they were going for it on 4th and 2. So again, another fourth down where they could have almost not converted, but they took the lead then. The Buccaneers tied the game up on a field goal, and then the Commanders took all the time in the rest of the game, 4 minutes and 41 seconds, to kick that game-winning field goal. So again, like I said, I went 5-1 in those predictions. I picked this Commanders upset on the road. The other four wins, I mean, they were kind of easy to get other than the Rams, who beat the Vikings despite being home underdogs. They were up 10-0 at the end of the first quarter. They were up 24-3 at the half and obviously won this game 27-9. All I have to say is I felt like watching the first game between these teams, the Rams were playing terrible heading into that game. And it was the return of Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, and that was really the game that turned the season around for the Rams. And although obviously the injuries played a big factor in that, or the returns from injuries played a big factor, they just started playing way better as a whole team. The offensive line, the defense, everybody in that game. And I felt like if the Rams had won that game at home, considering all the things going on back then with the 1-5 team, I really felt like they could turn it around again and just do what they did to the Vikings. This time, playing better football as a team overall, having improved a lot since then, whereas the Vikings have kind of just stagnated. Over the course of the season, they're kind of just the same team that they were back then. So I really felt like the Rams had the advantage because I felt like just stylistically they showed that even when they were playing not great football, they were still beating the Vikings. And even though there were some questionable calls in that game and everything, I felt like that would repeat itself again. And it did. So the Rams escape with the 27-9 victory. But talking about the divisional round now, we have Texans Chiefs on Saturday and Commanders Lions, so both the 1 seeds in action against a 4 seed and a 5 seed. 4 seed in the AFC, excuse me, being the Texans against the number 1 seeded Chiefs. Not going to go into this one too much, but the Chiefs are going to win it. I mean, this is just, I think it's a mismatch. I don't think the Texans deserve to be here in the first place, to be quite honest. I'm surprised that they did make it here, so good for them. But at the same time, this is not a matchup that they're geared up to win. I do think the Chiefs win this one pretty easily. Even though they haven't blown out teams this year, I think maybe this is the time that they start doing it now that it's the playoffs. And maybe coming off the bye, they do. And then on Saturday, the Commanders versus the Lions. It's rare to find the Lions as the team that's definitely not the younger team in a matchup. But this time they are. And I think that, I don't think this team is getting stopped in this round. I didn't think either the Commanders or the Buccaneers were going to beat the Lions. Even though I picked the Commanders to win the first round, and I love what Jaden Daniels is doing on the season, give me the Lions in this one. I think it's pretty simple. Then on Sunday, the number three seeded Rams against the number two seeded Eagles, and the number three Ravens against the number two seeded Bills. Both of my Super Bowl picks are in action. So if you think that I'm going to change my Super Bowl picks after they both won pretty easily in the first round, I'm not going to. The number two seeded Eagles, I think they're going to go beat the Rams at home. I just don't think that the Rams have what it takes to beat a team that good. Saquon Barkley ran for 255 yards the last time these two teams faced up. So, just take that how you will. Maybe he'll run for 300 this time. I just don't think the Rams are really capable of stopping the run with a team as good as the Eagles. And then the Ravens, I am also picking the Ravens because I just think that Lamar is going to outperform Josh Allen like he did in the first game, and the Ravens defense wasn't even playing amazing football at all heading into the game when they played each other earlier in the season, and they still only gave up 10 points to the Bills. So now that they're playing even better on defense, I think you can expect not necessarily a blowout anymore. I don't think it will be one of those games, because obviously that game was at M&T Bank Stadium, so favoring the Ravens there on home field advantage, whereas this will be at Orchard Park, favoring the Bills. But I still think the Ravens win it. Maybe a little bit higher scoring, a little bit closer, like maybe kind of 27-20, something like that. But I'm picking the Ravens to go on the road and pull off that upset. But let's change gears now and move to college basketball action, starting with the most significant games from last week. We will start with number 24 Michigan, who went on the road and beat number 22 UCLA 94-75, a strong, resounding win on the road for the Wolverines. It'll stay quad one for the whole season, even if UCLA continues their fall off, which, spoiler alert, they did later in the week. Then number 8, Florida, beat number 1, Tennessee, 73-43. Again, Auburn has been the best team in the country the whole year. Finally, the AP poll will reflect that because of the fact that Tennessee lost, although maybe it should have reflected it a little bit earlier. And Tennessee also just getting demolished in this game, by the way, not even close. Florida just came out and really had something to prove in that game, and they sure proved something. But speaking of Auburn, they were the number two team in the country last week, according to the AP poll. They beat Texas 87-82. Good win on the road for them. Always hard to win on the road, especially in the SEC, but they are doing it. They also did it over the weekend. We'll talk about that later. Georgia beat number 6, Kentucky, 82-69. Talked about their second win of the week on the weekend predictions, and I'll get to that later. But great week for Georgia. Number 14, Mississippi State beat Vanderbilt, 76-64. A good win on the road because Vandy really needed some signature wins in the SEC, and Mississippi State denying the Commodores one of those potential signature wins very early on in the proceedings of SEC play. Then you have Arizona, who beat number 21 West Virginia 75-56. That was also on the road. Interestingly enough, these teams played earlier in the season in the battle for Atlantis on a neutral court because, that field was selected before they were in the same conference. And West Virginia won that game. So it's interesting that they lost in blowout fashion on their home court after beating the same team on a neutral court earlier in the season. Obviously, though, Arizona as a team is playing much, much better over their recent winning streak than they were heading into that game. So Arizona really starting to kick it into high gear as a team, looking like that top 25 team that they were supposed to be preseason, top 10 team they were supposed to be preseason. They're now finally firmly into the tournament picture and really playing like a really, really solid team. Then you have Villanova, who upset number 9 UConn 68-66. Villanova lacking some signature wins. This one will make up for that. And then, they've had some close losses, but this was a top 25 team preseason. They haven't lived up to the expectations, but maybe this will be the start of a turnaround for the Wildcats. Then you got number 10, Texas A&M, who beat number 17, Oklahoma, 80-78. Again, A&M playing really good basketball right now. This win without Wade Taylor. Zurich Phelps erupted in this game. I think he had 36 points against the Sooners. So a big win for A&M. As, you know, really every win in the SEC is kind of a grind to get. So any win is a big win. They got one this weekend. Then you got number 13, Illinois, who beat Penn State 91-52 without Kasperos Iakuchonis. That's all I got to say. It was a 40-point blowout without their best player, their lead guard. I don't know what you can say about that other than, wow. Then number 23, Ole Miss, went on the road, beat Arkansas 73-66. A good road win for the Rebels, who, you know, have been doubted this year in terms of, you know, they have a good record, but who have they beaten? This is a pretty good win. This will start to give them some more praise this week. Number 15, Oregon, went on the road also. They beat Ohio State 73-71. The first of two close road wins for them this week. Talk about the next one later. Maryland beat number 22, UCLA, 79-61. UCLA, like I said, continues their downfall. Number one, Tennessee, beat Texas 74-70. So Tennessee going on the road and claiming a strong road win on Saturday, but, you know, a little bit closer than they would have liked it, just like Auburn, and just like Auburn again in their second game of the week, excuse me. As number two, Auburn beat South Carolina 66-63, but not only was it a close game, Jani Broome also went down in this game with an injury, so super important going forward. That is a big, big blow for the Tigers, but they still did win the game without him playing a majority of the second half, so they can be happy with that for now and then see what happens with his ankle sprain moving forward. Then you have number three, Iowa State, who beat Texas Tech 85-84 in overtime. Talked about in weekend predictions. Number four, Duke beat Notre Dame 86-78. Even though the game was close, Cooper Flagg had 42-6-7 in that game. So had to mention that one real quick. Number five, Alabama beat number 10, A&M 94-88 on the road. A really good road win for the Crimson Tide as they continue to surge and look for a one seed this season. Number six, Kentucky beat number 14, Mississippi State 95-90. Predictive metrics don't like this team, but the eye test, the brand name, the overall player talent, and the wins are very, very impressive. So it's hard to doubt this Kentucky team, no matter what the computers may say about them. Number eight, Florida beat Arkansas 71-63 on the road. Again, capping off a really good week for them, beating the number one team, in the country by 30, and then going on the road and beating the Coach Cal-coached Arkansas team by 8. Then you have USC, who beat number 13, Illinois, 82-72. USC, a big road win there, as they really have started to play a lot better in Big Ten play than they did in non-con play. So they're starting to turn a corner. We'll see if they can spoil some seasons in the Big Ten. They've already started to do that with that win this week. Then you had Georgia, who beat number 17, Oklahoma. We talked about it in predictions. Number 25, Utah State beat Boise State 81-79. That game ended on a four-point play, not at the buzzer, but pretty much at the buzzer, by Ian Martinez. Number 16, Michigan State went on the road, dominated Northwestern, even though the final score was 78-68. This game was really never within 10 points until basically the last 2 minutes. Michigan State controlled it pretty much from the point that Northwestern led midway through the first half. They went on a big 14-16-0 run, something like that, and then just never looked back from there. Number 15, Oregon beat Penn State 82-81, so Oregon goes undefeated in their first road trip out east. Number 20, Purdue beat Nebraska 104-68, just a crazy margin there for teams that honestly looked somewhat evenly matched before that game in terms of how they've been this season, but then Purdue just showing that they're not in the same tier as Nebraska, despite the fact that, like I said, maybe pre-game that might have been the case. But Mackey, way too tough for Nebraska to handle. And then number 21, West Virginia beat Colorado 78-80. And UCLA also lost again to Rutgers 75-68. But at this point, that game is just not relevant. UCLA just kind of falling to become a bubble team. And I didn't talk about many games that were just bubble teams versus teams outside of the tournament this week, no matter what the result was. So didn't feel like giving that its own special mention, but I wanted to quickly note that that did happen. But we will stick around with basketball. But moving on to the professionals, let's talk about the NBA a little bit. We will start in the Eastern Conference, as always, where the Cavs are 33-5. They did lose this week. They just lost to the Pacers. But it is worth noting that, they were part of a big clash earlier in the week, the Cavs versus the Thunder. Both teams on 10-plus game winning streaks. Both teams 30-5 or better heading into that game. And they did win that game. So they won the big one this week. They lost to the Pacers after the fact. I think, as crazy as it sounds, it might be time to retire the conversation about can this team break the wins record? Even though I am the sole proprietor of that conversation, they lose one game and all of a sudden they're on 71 win pace. And if you add an extra win to that, it really doesn't help the total that much. I mean, it goes from 71.1 to 71.5 projected wins. So it's just really hard. I mean, it just really proves how hard it was for those teams originally, the Warriors and the Bulls, to get to 72 and 73 wins. Obviously, the Warriors, the one with 73, the Bulls, the one with 72. But I also don't think, as we know, that this Cavs team is like an all-time great team in the first place. Even if they have an all-time great performance in the regular season, they might get to 70 wins. That wouldn't be crazy. But I think the wins record might be a little bit out of the question. But second place in the East, it's the Boston Celtics, 28-11. They're 5.5 back, playing decent but not amazing basketball. The Knicks are 26-15. They're 8.5 back in the third seed. They are just 5-5 in their last 10 games. The Magic are 23-18, 11.5 back, but they're 4-6 in their last 10. Team that's surging, though, are the Indiana Pacers. They're 22-18 now. They have won 6 games in a row, 7-3 in their last 10. They're now 12 back of the Cavs. And in the fifth seed, a half a game ahead of the Milwaukee Bucks, who are 20-17. And they are a half a game ahead of the Heat and the Pistons, who are at the 7 and the 8 seed, respectively. 20-18 for the Heat, 21-19 for the Pistons. They are 8-2 in their last 10, trending in the right direction to get themselves into the playoff picture. The Hawks are 19-19, a game back of both of those two, 14 back of first place, obviously. A little less relevant how far back they are in first place. But then you got the Bulls at 18-21, 15.5 back, 1.5 back of the Hawks. But they're only 2 games ahead of the Philadelphia 76ers, even though the Sixers are 5-5 in their last 10. We know how much talent this team has. We know how much talent they've shown off and how many wins they can rattle off when they're playing right. So no time to doubt the Sixers. I think they'll be in it when all things are said and done, probably at the expense of the Bulls. Don't think it'll come at the expense of the Hawks. Frankly, I think the 10 teams in right now, you take the Sixers in and take the Bulls out, and you have the 10 that will make the play in and playoff overall. But then at the bottom of the East, you have the Nets, who've lost 5 in a row. They're 13-26 now. The Raptors at 9-31, the Hornets at 8-28, and the Wizards at 6-32, with the league's longest losing streak at 7 games. In the West, you have the Thunder, who, like I said, couldn't pull out that big win against the Cavs, but went right back to work, won 2 in a row. They are 32-6 on the season, 6 games ahead of the second place Rockets, who are 26-12. They have won 4 in a row, 7-3 in their last 10. They're 2 ahead of the Grizzlies, who are in third at 25-15. They're 8 games back of the Thunder overall. But the Grizzlies are 1 game ahead of the Nuggets, who, despite winning 3 in a row and being 7-3 in their last 10, still in the 4 seed at 23-15 because of that kind of weak, not weak, but I guess weak for a championship contender type start to the season. Then you have the Mavericks. They are dealing with some injuries. They're 3-7 in their last 10, kind of falling down in these standings, a game and a half behind Denver, but only 2.5 games ahead of the Spurs, who are the first team out of the playoffs, and I'll get to that later. The Clippers are 21-17. They are a half a game back of the Mavs, 2 games back of the Nuggets. Then you have the Lakers and the Timberwolves, who are tied at the 7 and 8 spots. The Lakers have lost 3 in a row. The Wolves are 6-4 in their last 10, but the Lakers sitting at 20-17, Timberwolves sitting at 21-18. The Sacramento Kings have the league's longest winning streak at 7 games in a row after Mike Brown got fired. And now all of a sudden the Kings are 20-19. They are 1 game back of the Lakers and the Timberwolves for that 7 or 8, that 7 and 8 spot technically. But they are currently in the playoff picture, in the play-in picture, a half a game ahead of the Suns and the Spurs, who are tied at 19-19. Suns have won 3 in a row recently, sending Bradley Beal to the bench. It's kind of worked so far, which is kind of an interesting experiment. And then the Spurs just playing good basketball, but running into some tougher opponents, still playing 500 level basketball. And frankly, this is a young team, so it's surprising that they're here this early. Wemby's only going to get better. That's really scary. And then you have the Warriors at 19 and 20. They desperately need to figure things out. And finally, at the bottom of the West, the Trailblazers, who are 13 and 25, six games out, or six games below the Suns and Spurs. The Jazz at 10 and 28, and then the Pelicans at 8 and 32. Zion has come back and then missed a game and then gotten suspended. I mean, there's been a lot of controversy there, but yeah, the Pelicans up to no good, to be quite honest. But that will wrap this edition of the 4th and 24 podcast. Please be sure to check out our next podcast, which will be on Tuesday, January 21st, where we will look back at my weekend predictions again, have another look at the college football playoff, this time with the national championship, look at the divisional round in the NFL, and we will talk again about basketball with another weekly look of both, or look at both the NBA and college basketball. In the meantime, be sure to check out my additional content, including my weekly college basketball bracket updates, which will be posted weekly on Wednesdays for the next few weeks or so, and then transition to being posted on Monday and Fridays. But my picks for next weekend's games as well, which are posted on Thursday, and all of this content on our social media handles at 4th and 24. That's the number 4, THAND, the number 24 on Instagram and on Twitter, and some of that content on our website, 4thand24.com. Thank you for listening.